As the season of Advent begins, I'm sure many of us are looking forward to celebrating the birth of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are also looking forward to a break. We're looking forward to leisure time, a holiday away perhaps, and also good times with family and friends. But equally, we cannot shrug off the fact that it has been another scary year. By no means the last word on this subject. Various conflicts have made us think about the possibility of Europe going to war with Russia. Nations we thought to be friendly have made us jumpy. Nations we consider hostile seem to be given access to all areas. Meanwhile, and zooming in just a little bit, while the super rich seem to be okay, the country is worn out by failing public services. People are tired of leaders who appear to be out of touch and disconnected. England's towns and cities are often divided and found in tension, while many UK churches have lost their way before God. Mutating viruses make a mockery of our immune systems. We fear for our loved ones. We fear for ourselves. We are engulfed by worry and anxiety. But having said all that, it's not as if the people we find in the Bible escaped these things either. Sure, they are not familiar with our specifics. However, rogue states, violent wars, disease, poor government, unstable economies, and the environment, the Bible speaks to all these things. And just as the Bible has documented world history so that we might learn from it, the Bible also records the fear that people felt. And it is honest and raw. Paraphrasing some examples, Lord, it seems to us like the mountains are falling into the sea. Elsewhere, there is a whole army encamped against me. Meanwhile, I am in a deep, muddy pit. Having acknowledged those things, where does this place us before the one true and living God? Does it mean, as we consider the anxiety and the pressure and the stress that we all find ourselves to be under, does it mean that God has in some way given up? Does it mean that God Almighty is somehow having an off day? Well, although there is chaos in this fallen world, there is lots of confusion in this falling world, we can be certain that the living Lord God is on his throne. His kingdom is over all things. From everlasting to everlasting, he alone is God. And one day, the word tells us, every knee shall bow before him. And even though we cannot understand everything that the living Lord God does or permits in this fallen world, while we are at times hugely baffled and perplexed by the means he uses to accomplish his divine plans and, yes, reveal answers to the prayers of his chosen people, whether we are in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the Lord reminds the careful reader that his people are very precious to him. God's people are at the centre of God's gaze, morning, noon, and night. The psalmist tells us that the living Lord God, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. His watch over us is constant, it is perfect. And in this relationship of grace that we behold by faith, we are commanded, brothers and sisters, we are commanded to cast our burdens and our cares upon him. because the living Lord God has in Jesus Christ given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control, something that we all need help with. Indeed, God the Saviour emphatically declares to his children, mark these words, brethren, fear not. Why? For or because I am with you. Be not dismayed. Whatever you might see and hear in this fallen world, be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. And then graciously the Lord goes on to describe the benefits that his chosen people receive in him. The living Lord God says to his people, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so as we prepare to use God's living word to help us box up our fears this Christmas time, please, if you haven't done so already, open your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. And this morning, we're going to consider verses 25 to 26. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 to 26. A short text that shows us how, in a scary world, confidence is found in God's word. Now, just before we unpack our text for this morning, and by way of broad overview, we may say that Solomon is the chief contributor and curator of the Proverbs, and it's likely that the book came into being around 900 BC, at a time when Solomon was king in Israel, and Israel was enjoying great success. And with additional writing from a man called Agur, a king called Lemuel, and others also, the Proverbs are by and large a collection of direct statements that cover off areas of life not specifically dealt with by the law and the prophets. Said another way, the Proverbs give us a very straightforward measuring device in the nitty-gritty of our lives. The Proverbs regularly ask the reader, is my life in line with the word of God? Am I doing what God expects of me? Are my thoughts, my words, and my actions bringing honour and glory to the Saviour? And these are good questions for us, because in a world that is full of scary and frightening experiences, the Bible, the living word of God, it is like a light in the darkness, so that we can choose the safest path to walk along. And in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon goes out of his way to say the same thing. At the start of chapter 3 and verses 1 through 2, can we see them? Solomon says with sincere love, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. The length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And while there are many more things we might say about the verses that come before our text for this morning, I think that verse 15 sums up nicely the value of God's word in a fallen world. For those of us who have been given faith to believe in the word of God and all that it points to, this faith is, quote, more precious than jewels. And nothing you desire can compare with her. But you know that 2.2 kilogram crown that King Charles III wore during his coronation, that one that is encrusted with 444 precious and semi-precious stones. I'm told that many have speculated on its value, and a few studies have produced a figure of £45.4 million. But even if we cannot be certain about the cost of Charles's coronation crown, our point is simple. that the message found in the scriptures, the words we find contained in the Bible, the faith that we receive by the goodness of the Spirit before God, these things that we speak of this morning, these things are more precious than the coronation crown. Why? Because what we receive by faith expressed on the pages of Scripture, it takes the never-dying soul to eternal life in Christ Jesus. Our God-given faith to believe spares us from the misery of hell's fire. And Solomon is so confident about the Word of God in this fallen world that at verse 25, the first part of our text for this morning, at verse 25, Solomon says, can you see it there in your Bibles? Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. Unpacking the first part of our text for this morning, verse 25 begins with a straightforward command to the listener. I'm sure we spotted it. We are told, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. When we keep at the top of our minds who the living Lord God is and what he has accomplished for his people, and what he promises to give to his people, not just in this life, but in all eternity to come, we must not be frightened, brothers and sisters, by this dark and scary world. We must not be overawed, next part of verse 25, we must not be astonished by sudden or surprising terror. Opening this a little bit more, we must not be afraid of something bad that happens in the blink of an eye, in fractions of a second. We have no need to fear those things that make others tremble and shake. We have just hit that crash barrier in that challenging car park at Lister Hospital, having visited a friend. The Lord says, do not be afraid. Our child didn't get into their first choice school. The living Lord God says to you, brother or sister, do not be afraid on behalf of your children and their future. We've arrived at work. It's in a total state of chaos. The Lord God says to you, do not be afraid. We're not sure if we can give the family the Christmas that the family is expecting. The Lord says, don't be afraid. My husband is away again on business. The kids have gone early on the Advent calendar. They keep doing awful things to the hamster. And the Lord God says to you this morning, under that kind of pressure and stress, do not be afraid. I miss my spouse so much. Or why can't I find someone to marry? The Lord God says to you this morning, do not be afraid. Young people preparing for exams, sitting exams, thinking about university or somewhere in the clearing system, the Lord God says to you, don't be afraid. Older people confined to bed, broken by illness or a failing body in some way, do not be afraid. And not just situations within our personal orbit. In the second half of verse 25, Solomon gets his listeners to think about external events that come of God's people. And you see it there. We're not to be afraid of the ruin of the wicked. Or a better translation, I think. We are not to be afraid of the onslaught or the storm of the wicked when it comes. Not if, but when it comes. Perhaps you've heard of a northern man called Bob, who evangelizes for Jesus Christ at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park in London. Oh, his is an interesting story. It's reported that a Muslim youth tried to convert Bob to Islam when Bob was 13 years old, but in the end, Bob found himself being led by the Holy Spirit to confess his sins and to bow before the one true and living God, the only Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Bob is now well known on YouTube and other media platforms for exposing the Islamic faith and the history of Islam. But at times he faces a great onslaught as he witnesses for Jesus Christ and Christ's gospel. In some recordings, and whatever their background might be, men sometimes in dark clothing form this imposing semicircle in front of Bob. Some cover their faces using items of clothing, perhaps dark glasses. Others have worn intimidating masks. There's hostile comments, there's nasty comments, there's scathing comments about the Christian faith and all that Bob is speaking to. And yet, Bob does not back away from their onslaught. Bob does not seek cover from that storm. With the word of God at the top of his mind, Bob stands in the power of Christ for the glory of Jesus Christ. And his big, booming, northern voice, it heralds the gospel. But look, it's not just Bob at Speaker's Corner, is it? It's us in the staff room at school talking gender and marriage in the secular culture that we find ourselves in. It's the science lesson involving evolution. It's that cynical and godless RE teacher. It's the debate about abortion at the university. It's being pursued by an angry local after we've just dropped through their letterbox our latest leaflet pointing them to Jesus Christ and our services here this Christmas. Yes, in all these things and more besides, Solomon says to us this morning, if we are living for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we take seriously everything that he has accomplished for us on the cross at Calvary, if we are with the help of the Holy Spirit living in line with his word, Scripture says to us this morning, brothers and sisters, there is no need to be afraid of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. Now, why can Solomon say this? Well, it's the next part of our text, isn't it? It's verse 26. We do not fear the rapid escalation of a problem or the onslaught of the wicked, because first part of verse 26, and I love this, the Lord will be your confidence. Isn't that good to hear this morning? The living Lord God will be the confidence of his chosen people. Exploring this a bit more, the one who always has been, the one who always shall be, the one who oversees this universe that he spoke into existence, this one stands ready to give us everything that we need to cope with this scary and frightening world. Contained in the Bible, we find by faith an inexhaustible supply of good things that will help us to overcome in the power of his Spirit. When we find ourselves daily grounded in the Word of God, when we are exercising our faith in prayer before God, we are, spiritually and figuratively speaking, we are like that tree planted by streams of water. Notice that, streams plural of water. There is a constant source of goodness that is being fed by the Spirit into our lives. When we are in the Word of God daily, we find that it is like a lamp to our feet so that we might know what to do and where to go in this dark and fallen world. And as we take to heart the confidence we can find in our relationship with the Lord, so Solomon finishes with a promise for God's people. Can we see it there? The Lord will keep your foot from being caught. That is to say, God's word will highlight to us the traps that can take us down, those traps that can make us stumble and fall. It's not that we read the Bible, exercise our faith, and then we suddenly become immune from the danger or the suffering of this fallen world. Far from it. The reality is, and many of you will be able to testify to this, the reality is that when we follow God by faith, when we stand up for Christ and his gospel, when we put him first rather than anything else in this world, the world, and sometimes those quite close to us, will do all that it can, they can, to crush us and rub out our faith. But even so, the wisdom of God, which we're told in the Word, which has founded the heavens above our heads and the earth beneath our feet, this wisdom of God, which is greater than silver or gold or precious stones, God's wisdom will keep his people on the right path that leads to everlasting life in the heavenly places above our heads. The Word tells us the righteous will never be moved on account of God the Saviour. The righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news, says the psalmist. His heart, her heart, is firm. Why? Because that brother, that sister is daily trusting in the Word of God and the work of Christ in their lives. And as we consider the value of leaning into God's word in this scary world, the only way any of us shall begin to box up this Christmas the things that frighten us is if we start to regularly exercise our faith in the one who perfectly fulfills the word of God. We have to take account of our lives at some point before the one who is in charge of everything. The only way we shall overcome the things that frighten us and make us anxious and, yes, short-tempered, is if we put wholehearted trust and faith in Jesus. Because, and these are wonderful words, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God the Saviour has our best interests at heart. He wants the best for everyone here this morning and you watching online. Indeed, it is only God's Son, Jesus Christ, who can help us stare down the things that scare us and disturb us, because he stared them down himself. When he was betrayed in Gethsemane and arrested in Gethsemane and abandoned and taken through those false trials and scourged with that heavy whip and then made to walk down that road of suffering out to that little hill called Calvary, that place where Jesus Christ in naked shame and agony was stretched out on that cross and died for the sins of the world. And so when it comes to God's Son, Jesus Christ, we all have a decision to make right now before we leave this place this morning. We can either go on our own way, trying to overcome all the things that do scare us in this life. And that is true. This life is full of scary and intimidating things. Or we can resolve this morning to tell the Lord that we are sorry for not trusting him wholeheartedly, as we should have done. And that with his help, please, dear Saviour, by the goodness of your Spirit, please help me to start doing what your word says, that I might bring honour and glory to your name, that you would protect every untrodden footstep of my life and my loved ones, that we might bring honour and glory to you, that we might live for you, that we might follow you and do all that pleases your great and holy name. Whatever the world might say, it's Jesus alone, by the power of his Spirit, who can help us deal with those frightening things that occur in the blink of an eye. It's Jesus alone, by the power of his Spirit, who can help us to deal with the onslaught of the wicked when, not if, it comes. Only Jesus Christ, by the power of his Spirit, has that never-ending supply of wisdom to help us to stick to that right path that leads to everlasting life. Therefore, as this season of Advent begins, let all of us entrust ourselves by faith to God the Saviour. Those who are confident in Jesus now have no need to fear eternity that is to come. Amen.